everybody, this is your host E. Marie, and this is Soy Chingona. We are doing a live episode on my last night here in Aguascalientes, Mexico. And I am here with Paco and Andres. Say hello, boys.
Hi.
Hola.
And we just wanted to do a little recording on our last night, kind of about a bunch of different conversations that we had over the last 8-9 days that I've been here. And why don't you guys first introduce yourselves and tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Paco. I'm 36 years old, and I was born here in Mexico, and I've been living here ever since. Well, I just lived once in London and in Canada, but basically here in Mexico.
And you, Andres?
And my name is Andres. I was also born in Mexico, but I went to live in the United States like when I was around 7 years old, and I stayed over there until I was about 17, 18. But now I've been living here in Aguascalientes for about 20 years.
Why did you come back to Mexico?
We came back because only my dad and the family had his papers to work, his permit. So after he saw that it was really tough to get his papers over there, which even though he tried for years and years with lawyers, and it was a whole mess. So pretty much the whole family got sick of the situation, and we decided to come live in Mexico.
Come back.
Yeah.
To
come back, yeah.
When you guys think of the U.S., what's the first, bullet points that you think of?
Will
obviously be a little bit different for the both of you since you spent a lot of your childhood there.
Right. I think one of the cooler things that the people in the U.S. have, living there, was that it has, it doesn't have such an old, culture as, ours, but I think that the cool thing is that there's a lot of people with a lot of different cultures. So then, you can learn a lot about, Russia or, Philippines from the people, living there and, their cultures and their traditions. And I think that that's, amazing. I think that the U.S. should take advantage of that more.
That diversity.
Right.
I think that's one of the first things I noticed about being here. Was right away, it kind of blew my mind, oh wow, I'm in Mexico, I'm surrounded by mostly Mexicans here, I don't have the diversity of what I grew up with. And what about you, Paco? What do you think of when you think of the U.S.?
Well, I really like U.S. for different things. Well, but that depends. That's a complex question, because I used to think about U.S. The best country in the world, but right now with everything that is happening with Trump and everything, it really is just crazy for me. It's not the U.S. that I was used to. For me, it's getting worse and worse. It's getting a mockery for the world because of the president, because all these mass shootings and you guys not being able to ban all these guns and all this violence. And yeah, basically for me it was the best country. You still guys, obviously you guys have great things down there.
Gracias.
But not as you guys used to.
When you guys think of the U.S. and the state that it's in right now, do you guys think that it's dangerous? Do you guys ever look at the U.S. and be dangerous to go there right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of times that, especially us, that we work with people from the U.S. and we have a lot of contact with them. So there's a lot of times that they hear worse news than what we hear about you guys. I mean, down here, the violence is mostly just the people that are in the drug business We love like the cartels and stuff. So if you're like a quote unquote regular citizen, then you really have nothing to worry about. But what scares me and what like for example, like I told like my parents or whoever goes and visits the U.S. is to be very careful, because like over there, like you can get shot or like something can happen to you like out in public just like walking around, and here it's really hard for that to happen. So I think that in part, like, you guys might think that it's like really dangerous here, but I think that the U.S. right now is a lot more dangerous.
And I brought that up too because that's what it sounds like talking to you guys and stuff and getting your opinion and like your brothers and stuff when we're talking, like it kind of seemed that way, like you guys have a fear of going to the U.S., but yet we're taught, and through the media and through everything, we're taught to fear everything in Mexico.
Right.
You know, and that's why, like, I asked, you know, you Paco questions when that first day that we were riding around, because I wanted to know, like, what I was told Mexico was. Like, is it really? Like, the only thing I think that you really confirmed to me was the water.
That was that first day I asked you,
and I was like, okay, like, I know, because we're, like, told that, too, like, going to Tijuana or Rosarito and stuff, like, but I didn't know if that meant it was everywhere.
Yeah, it's because it's a lot harder to have clean water. I mean, like, I'm not saying that the water's not clean at all, but it has a lot of minerals, and it has a lot of stuff that you don't really need, so it's really tough on your stomach, and if you, like, drink it for a long time, then it's not great. Plus it has like bacteria and stuff like that. So yeah, like you have to be like really careful with like things like that. But obviously those are things that are due to like money or like things like that, or like growth, right? So hopefully those are the things that in the future will like be gone, and then people will be able to drink their water, right? Hopefully.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, just like any other country, like it has a lot of awesome things, and it has a lot of
pros and cons, like, to
pros
everything.
And cons, right.
Let's talk about money for a second, and describe to us like the cost of living, especially in somewhere like here in Aguascalientes.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of the country, like it's really cheap to live here. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing, because if you earn more. For example, in Guadalajara, they earn more than we do, but they pay more for rent, pay more for everything. So in here, we might have lower salaries, but everything is really cheap. So you can find places that you can live amazingly in with a regular, or compared to other cities, like really low
cost
budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners what you guys do for a living?
Sure. We both work at a company named Softec, which is a company that is pretty much like outsourcing. So we're hired to work with companies from the U.S. Usually for tech stuff. So that's what we do. We have a lot of like communication with our clients in the U.S. and we just try to get that link, because obviously like workers here are a lot cheaper. So then whenever it's like something very like tech specific, then they would rather hire someone from outside. Which lately, like, we were like a little bit worried because of Trump saying all these things where he like prefers everything to stay in the United States, which is, I mean, like, it's not really a bad thing. I mean, he's trying to take care of his country, but he has to be real and face the fact that there's a lot of workers that do things for the U.S. that are outside, like in India, China.
Right, because I didn't even think about that, like how our administration is affecting you guys and your future as a country, and what that means for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Trump was elected, like I was really worried about it. Like I was amazed. I didn't think that was going to happen, to be honest. Because I was like, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like...
As an American, I thought it was a joke.
It seems like the world was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, for me it's unbelievable. But yeah, we got like really scared, and and we still talk about that, and everybody will be able to tell you, like, the we're constantly checking, like, your guys' politics, because that directly affect us.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, we're like neighbors. It's impossible not to be affected by like the decisions of one or the other, right?
Right. How do you think the U.S. is going to be affected with your new president?
Right now, it's a lot of speculation. Like, people don't really know what's going to happen. There's a lot of people that think they know, and there's a lot of people that are being very, like, close-minded, and a lot of people that are being, like, very open-minded. I think that he's going to try to change a couple of things, especially with our relationship with you guys. I believe that what he's trying to do is kind of like separate the country like a little bit to help us out. But like I said, it's kind of like the same thing that Trump like wanted to do. Like, he wanted to keep all the jobs there and make America great again. So this president, I believe, kind of wants to do the same thing. They're just like wanting to like help out their country any means necessary, right? So, but we have to see, because obviously, like, politics are super complex.
Right.
And just like what happened with Trump, I mean, he hasn't been able to do a lot of things that he says that he was, just like every other president. So there's a lot of talk always at the beginning, so we'll have to see
how it all plays out.
Yeah, but like, according to him, he does want to do like something more of like make Mexico great again kind of thing.
For me, it was that the voting process was really, I was really annoyed by it, because that just happened in the U.S. and right. For us having like the same thing, the same mentality for our president,
country,
our next
right.
president. Yeah, he seems these like let's keep everything here, the same thing, the same way that Trump thinks. And for me, it's about like different cultures. It's about like embracing your, like you were saying, like you guys were saying, that the U.S. where it's well known for having like this multicultural place, and that's amazing for me. That's one of the things that I enjoyed the most when I lived in London, for example, because you get to see these a lot of different cultures, and I love that. And for this president to try to take away this from us, for me it's like sad and it's not fair, because there's a lot of immigrants like in the U.S. and here we don't have that many, but we do have like Japanese, and especially here in Aguascalientes, like there's a lot of Japanese people here. So I don't know what's gonna happen. He was trying to like remove everything from the states from Mexico. He had a lot of sayings while in campaign that I'm pretty sure that he's not gonna follow.
Okay.
But I was really scared about like all the things that he was saying. But the Mexicans, we were like craving for a change, and well, a lot of the people with low resources, all of us were tired of PRI, of that political
party.
And all of us were trying to look for a change, and the only one available to us, it's the same thing that happens to you guys with Bernie Sanders. That for us was the same thing, that you guys have only two choices. But for us, we have like three, four, five choices.
Really?
Oh yeah,
a lot.
So, but what happened here is the same thing that they were trying to say, like, do not vote for a party that you know that it's not gonna win, because that way you're giving power to the ones that you don't want in the power.
Okay.
Because for me, for example, and that's my personal opinion, I didn't vote for the guy that got elected because of the same thing. But a lot of Mexicans were like, I'm gonna vote for him because I want to change. And a lot of them as well, they vote for a third one. And not for PRI, not for PAN, because the most important ones are PRI, PAN, and PRD. PRD was the one that got elected. Well, I don't know if it's still PRD, but well, he's the one that got elected. Then it was PRI and PAN, but PRI, we were sure that he was not, that they were not going to win, because we have PRI right now, and we hated it. So, but PAN for me was a really good option, because that candidate is really, I don't know, he has a lot of culture, he knows like different languages, he speaks French, he speaks English. And for me, a president has to be prepared. That's a thing right now. You seems the word seems like crazy with all these presidents that that they're just
right. Because weren't we talking the other night about another country that just Brazil. Elected? That's what it
is. I like believe that people are kind of like sick of politics. Like they're seeing that it's not working. So I think that like whenever they vote,
they
for
want
like
an extreme change.
Yeah.
An extreme change, right?
Yeah. I think that really when they vote for someone like Trump, it's just. Like to have an extreme change and not really thinking about the like what's best for the country.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys shed some light on your guys' issue right now with having the caravans that are here and
I know that it's more like of a protest, because those people are obviously not going to be let into the U.S. obviously. Mm-hmm. They will most likely stay in Mexico, which is what happens all the time. I mean, there's a lot of immigrants that come all from South America, and they get stuck here because they can't work and because they don't have a permit. So then they get stuck either working for the drug cartels or like begging for money. So like our government has told us like not to worry, that they've already like investigated who these people are and that it seems like they are no threat to us. So pretty much right now what we're seeing is that the U.S. is making a big deal out of nothing, because those people are not going to be like let in, and and the U.S. is not going to learn a lesson from that.
And I showed you guys that video that was on Facebook that they were showing, like, and it was being sold as for the Americans, like
look at these
good
people.
We're keeping these violent, trashy people out of our country, like we're gonna send more troops and we're gonna send our Camp Pendleton down at the border to help the situation.
But that's the thing, this has happened like forever. Why now?
Yeah,
like why do you guys are looking at the border now, like just like with this? Because they usually come here like all the time.
Yeah.
And in a big amount of a big amount of people, but right now it seems more a political like
issue.
Right.
They just want to
being
distract
mainstream.
You or
right.
to for this being a mainstream. For me, it's ridiculous.
Which,
whatever.
Yeah,
pronounce that,
yeah, because
what's
like,
your guys' regulations on immigration here in Mexico?
They are pretty strict with the people from South America, but it's like really tough to maintain that, because like the South is a jungle, so like the environment does not help.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to work for that or with that, and he said that it is a mess, but it's not as bad as you guys think. I mean, it's more like people coming in like through trains or like hidden like that, but like they usually are trying to find their way to the U.S. But like Paco says, like you guys have nothing to worry about, like your border is super secure. Us that we have to travel and like go and get a visa to like go in, it's a mess, like it's not easy at all. So like those caravan and those people that try to go in through the desert, That's like risking their life. Like that's not going through the right way, like the right channels.
So tell me though, because we had a conversation too about how visas work for you guys to go to the States. Well, more you, Paco, because so you have dual citizenship?
No. Like I have to get a visa too.
Okay.
I like never got my citizenship over there. That's part of the why we came back.
Okay.
And like this was in the 90s, so like imagine how hard it is now to get your like papers.
Right, to go through all that.
Oh yeah.
So in order for you, Paco, tell us the process, because I want you to come to San Diego and come hang out. And so tell me what you have to go through in order to make that happen.
Right.
Well, for that to happen, I need to renew my visa because I used to have visa, but to be honest, I didn't want to go to the States while Trump is there. That was a really no-no for me. But it sucks because I get to know like a lot of wonderful people. I got to know you, that you're an amazing person, and I really want to go and visit you. And that makes me want to renew my visa. And the process is it's kind of complicated because you need to call first to get an appointment. You need to pay for it, and they give you like an appointment after a month. And once you get your appointment, you go there and they ask you all these paperwork. Like you have to take like how much you earn, where do you work, how do you, like what do you own, if you have a house, if you have a car, like all the papers, you need to take them.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a process. Like a lot of people don't get the visa. I got denied my visa for the first two times that I asked, that I requested the visa for. Because I was not working. Yeah. By the time, but I had all my paperwork. I had my grandfather. He was supporting me, like money wise, and I gave them like all the paperwork, like all the my grandpa, like the bank statements. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to even see him. They asked me, "Do you work?" No. Then it's denied. Yeah. I'm like, what?
If you don't, really? Yeah, like yeah. If you don't have a job here, it's really hard to get a visa because, like, to them, like, it just looks like you're gonna go over there and work.
Yeah.
And then,
wow.
Yeah, another thing that's not fun whenever you go through the process to get a visa, you have to go online and answer a survey.
Oh, yeah.
It takes 1 hour. And you guys ask the stupidest questions. Like, are you taking, like, guns with you to the United States? Have you ever thought about killing the president?
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Like, they ask stuff like that.
Because they expect people to be like, yes, yeah. Actually, yes. I am, like, considering taking a gun. Exactly. And yes, actually, I was going to assassinate your president.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's more like trying to catch you in a lie. But,
than anything, right?
Yeah, than anything. But it is very confusing, and it is very, very... like sad that you have to go through that and answer questions that you can't believe they're asking you just to get a visa to go to Disneyland, for example.
Exactly, and you get nervous. Like when you travel there, you get like really scared, even though that you're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
Like you're scared that, oh my God, are they gonna allow me to enter?
Right.
It's ridiculous. Like we get like really scared. Like I see people like shaking.
Oh yeah.
Like when they're going there just for like a trip to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And we get like really nervous because we don't know what's gonna happen. Because I had a friend, for example, that she had all her paperwork in order, all her visa and everything, and she got rejected there. So you can't do anything.
So why is it that you guys have to have a visa in order just to come for a trip and travel? And like, because what I had to do to come here was like fill out like a FMML something form and pay $29.
Yeah.
But it did say like if I spent more than I think 10 days here, then I had like another different type of process to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't get asked a bunch of questions. It was maybe like 4 or 5 questions. They were very simple.
Even when you do stay like a little bit longer, it's not like a tough process. I think the countries that ask for visas is because they're a little bit more strict about like their immigration process. So a couple of countries ask for visas from specific countries. Like for example, if I'm from France, then I wouldn't have to have a visa to go to the US.
Wait, really?
Oh yeah, there's like certain countries that they have like links to that country.
I believe.
So is it like a danger country to America?
Yeah,
so they're just like,
yeah.
Danger country,
yeah.
You're the ones that have to have a visa to come in.
Correct.
I do believe that it's regarding like the first world countries and third world countries.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, for example, you guys don't ask visa for Europe.
Anyone from Europe.
you don't.
Only like Russian.
They are allowed to access like to the States just as you came here.
Yeah.
They just pay like a little amount of money and you're allowed to go in.
Yeah, and they do like one little paperwork.
But yet you're our neighbors.
Yeah, exactly. That's
and
that,
we make you go through that process in order to come visit our country. Not work, not get educated.
Like just visit.
Just come visit our country.
Yeah.
That's what's so frustrating because apart from the visa and apart from the fact that you have to pay a lot, like almost like 90-80 bucks to get a visa, and if they tell you no, like you don't get that money back, you just lose it. So then apart from getting the visa, paying for it, doing the questionnaire, going to another city, because like for example here in Aguascalientes they don't have it, you have to go to Guadalajara to get the visa, so then you have to spend the money to travel, you have to go get that, and then it's a whole nother process when you get to the border. It's the same, like you get there, everyone's very rude. They ask for tons of paperwork that they've already asked you for when like in theory you got the visa,
right?
Because they're super strict about it. So like you wonder why they go through so many like filters,
channels. Yeah.
And then after that, also if you're gonna go deeper into the U.S., I believe it's I don't remember how many like kilometers into the U.S. you have to do other paperwork. You have to see another officer, and you also have to pay. So it isn't that easy, like it isn't that easy for us to visit. So it's very frustrating because a lot of people just want to go like spend their money. Like why is that bad? Like why would it be bad to go spend your money in another country and visit, you know? So yeah.
Because we're so vain, we think you guys are going to just fall in love with our country and never want to
like,
leave.
And
then you steal our jobs, so.
Exactly.
That's what we're really trying to prevent, you know?
And it's also twice as frustrating because whenever people come here, I believe that everyone is very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't, like, generalize. There's obviously, like, all kinds of people, right? But most of the times, everyone here is very humble and very nice and very, like, willing to help out tourists when in the U.S. they'll throw stuff at you. So, yeah.
It's just like, it's weird to come be raised in a country that I thought my whole life people were fighting so hard to be a part of, in which it was like that, right? Back in the 80s, in the 90s, okay,
right.
It was like that.
Yes, it was.
And I grew up in San Ysidro, border town of Tijuana border, and I saw families coming over. Like, I used to get in trouble for giving my lunch to a family that
really?
Would stay, like, in the canyon that we walked up to get to our school.
But that's great.
It was just very common in our backyard. Like, people would be running by in the middle of the night all the time. Like,
really?
It was just, it was very common for us to see that. So, again, being raised and looking at it as, oh, my God, these people are risking their lives to come into the country that I'm in.
Yeah.
That I'm a part of because I'm a citizen.
Yeah.
And then I still have the same mentality and then all this stuff with our administration. And then I come down here and you guys are like, we're not really fighting to get in there.
No.
That's not what's really going on. And you're like, I didn't want to visit. Like, Trump became president. I was like, I'll stay away for a while.
I can understand that, like the U.S., like the U.S.'s like frustration with some of the immigrants that go because obviously, like, the people that try to sneak in are not our best examples, right?
Right.
They're like, breaking the rules. Sometimes, most of the times, it's because of, like, they want something better, right? And they have no other choice.
For me, it's desperation.
Yeah.
But, right? Like, that's where it's coming from.
But, like, most of the people that are hardworking people and that don't really have a necessity to go live over there, it's really frustrating to go visit your country.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
It is
very difficult.
Wow.
And I know that you guys have to be strict because a lot of people are like coming in, but I don't think there's that many people coming in anymore. Like, they know it's dangerous and they know that the US is not having
it. So to me it's like, and that's why I asked you guys about feeling safe coming to the US because again, you know, I'm taught by, everybody, when I told them I was coming down here without my husband, like, people were freaking out and telling me, like, how could you go do that? Like, I don't care if you're traveling to a place where you're going to know people once you get there. Like, it doesn't matter. You're a woman who's American, who doesn't speak good Spanish, and you're going down there. Like, people thought it was ridiculous. And the number one thing everybody would keep saying is, be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe. Oh my God, be careful. Yeah. Be aware. Look around. Hold your shit as tight as you can in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, don't bring your wedding ring down. Like, it was very, and I get, like we said earlier too, like, every place has its bad places, right? And has its danger zones.
Of course.
But this whole entire trip, I have not felt unsafe once. Even when we're walking by some shady ass people.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, I've been in a lot of shady situations. Right. So that's something that when I see shady people, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm not going to walk right through them.
Yeah.
And interrupt their flow. You know what I mean? And like
put
myself in that dangerous spot, you know, potential danger.
Yeah.
But that's what you guys see in the media. Like, do you guys see all the shootings that happens at schools and stuff? Like, what do you see in the media of U.S.?
That's funny that you mentioned this, because we really see the U.S. as this. For example, we as an homosexual couple, that in what just happened in Orlando, mm-hmm. that mass shooting on the club, for me was shocking. And I was like, what's going on? And for me, that makes me not want to go to the States, because you guys are supposed to be these liberals and like everybody is accepted and you fight for your rights and everything. And you guys see us, or I believe that you guys see us as not like equal on that part.
Right.
And the funny part is that we have more rights now as a gay couple than you guys have in the States.
And that's what I was asking you guys earlier about, like, getting married and stuff. Like, and when you guys had said, like, it's not just a state-by-state thing. Like,
it's a whole country.
Countrywide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so for that things to still happen in the States, that makes you wonder, like, are you really that liberal? Are you guys really, like, better than everyone?
That free?
Like, that free?
Right. Because that's what you were brought up looking at America, like, right? The land of the free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? The land of the brave. So the land of the free.
Yeah.
But now you wouldn't say that, right? You wouldn't call America the land of the brave, the land of the free.
Because that, you don't see that here. You don't see mass shootings. You don't see, like just for about hate, because you see so much hate in these days.
I mean,
like, these mass shootings is just killing random people.
Yeah,
it's not like here that you do see people killing each other, but just because they're into shady business.
Yeah, right.
It's not like a regular people. You don't see like, oh yeah, my cousin got killed. No.
So tell me, do you guys know much about, like, sex trafficking and human trafficking that goes through Mexico? Because before you answer that, I'll tell you with the U.S., like, it's a huge danger right now. And especially being in a city like San Diego, that's so close. Like, the mentor program that I'm a part of, one of our first seminars every year is a seminar on sex trafficking. And they separate the girls from the mentors, the adult mentors, and we do a separate seminar where we learn as adults what to look out for and what are warning signs in young girls, because it happens constantly. What's the story down here?
I think that nowadays with the internet and everything and like the amount of info that like we get, it's really tough to know what's true, what's not, what's being like exaggerated or not, which also has to do with us seeing what's happening in the U.S. because like we only like see things on the news and a lot of that stuff is wrong. So then like it makes you think, it's like, wow, like is it worse or like it's,
like where do we really stand on something like that?
But like when it comes to the topic of sex trafficking, we don't really get a lot of that news here, like in the middle of Mexico. I think that would be more like in the north. But like me, like as an opinion, I think it's mostly because that's their only way to get through. Like sometimes like they want to like leave their families and they don't want to work. That's the easiest way. sometimes there's a lot of cities up in the north where it's really bad, like kidnappings and like
rapings. That's what I was gonna ask. It's really bad too.
But we haven't heard anything in the news in a while. I mean, like a lot of those things, they keep it very hush hush because it's really huge numbers where you're like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I don't know. Between like the legal system and the cops here, and
well, that was another thing then, I had asked about shady cops.
Yeah,
like how?
Yeah, because like sometimes, like it might even be cops. Like it could be cops or like other people that just take people. That's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Either that, or it's girls that on their own just want to make it.
And get out.
Yeah, and get out and do it like any means necessary.
Right, and I'm sure a lot of these girls that wind up doing stuff like that or think that they're not going to be in it forever.
Right.
They don't realize what that means to make a move like that, right? They're like, this is going to help me get out of what the situation that I'm in.
Right. It's like mostly, I guess, like young people.
Yeah. What? Tell me, as a couple, what your experience is living as a gay couple in Mexico.
Mexico is a very Catholic country, so it's
Well, yes, there's churches
everywhere.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh my God, they're incredible, like, but everywhere.
To tell you the truth, it's still a very like macho country and still like a very like Catholic country. But slowly they're like growing. I think that as a country we're like growing in like a lot of aspects. So like one of those aspects is that like people are becoming more like used to it. In the bigger cities it's like very common, and there's a lot of like big cities like Guadalajara and like Mexico City and Monterrey. They're very like gay friendly. They have restaurants and hotels.
Which is not what I thought. Either.
Oh no! Yeah,
like that's something. Really? I didn't think that it was so open and accepted.
Oh yeah.
Because I think what I've been taught is like the machoism, like of it, like and it's stuff too. So like I've always thought like, oh, Mexico must not be as accepting as a state. I mean, as a country.
It isn't that much. Like there's still like a lot to grow. But as a gay person, you kind of like see who you can talk to, who you can...
Like you don't feel unsafe.
Right, no, I don't feel unsafe. But like you don't get into certain kinds of like situations, like do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't look for trouble.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, like there's a lot of times that you have to be on the down low.
Do you guys have, do you guys have areas, like, you know, like... visiting San Diego, like there's Hillcrest area where it's like just full and acceptance, right? And all gay pride everywhere.
And like the bigger cities,
Do you guys have sections that are like that?
Oh, yeah. We even have one section here in Aguascalientes, but it's not as big or it's not as...
Because we passed by that club. Was it a club yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, that street is the gay street here in
Aguascalientes.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, like there's a lot of things, there's a lot more stuff, there's a lot more gay bars, there's like gay cruises. I mean, like there's a lot of like cities that are very like gay friendly, and you see people walking down the street like holding their hands, and like most of the people like don't really care. And I think also like the newer like generations are being taught to like be more like
acceptance
and more like respectful. And since they have the internet, it's tough not to. I mean, like they can talk to people from all over the world, and they see information from all over the world. So.
Right.
Like, kids are a lot more, like, awake in that sense.
Do you guys have a large community of transgender?
We do, but it's not really a community. I'm pretty sure that they stay together and they help each other out, and they're very, like...
But it's not, like, an open community where they're...
No, like a community, like an open community. There are a couple of places. Like, the other day, we were shocked to see... that there's a small city like in the south, like in Oaxaca, where there's a small community and they're very accepted.
Really?
Very accepted.
Really? Out
like
there
all
too.
Of the community like knows them, they're very like accepted, and it's been like that for years.
Is that church bells?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how many churches are here that we're in the restaurant, and the church bells are
loud.
Over. over top of our voices, which is so funny.
They are like tight knit like themselves, but the community still has not accepted them like 1,000%. It's like little by little.
We touched up on some topics, which I'll have to go through that episode. We're in Guadalajara and we're hanging out with your brothers. Trying to get my train of thought here while the bells are going off for so long. And I want my dessert too, if you see the waiter.
It's done.
Almost. It's so close.
Yeah.
We touch up on what you guys thought about famous people in America.
Oh yeah.
It's about that time to bring those up.
It's because like we were talking about how funny it is, like the people that you guys choose to be famous and to like kind of like represent you as a country, right?
It's so sad when you say it like shocking. That.
Well, but it is though. Because
but it is. But it's just like sad for me to hear like that.
I know.
Choosing the people that we bring into fame and.
And like again, like
in
now
world, in a worldwide view, exactly, they are the ones exactly. that are representing us.
Yeah, because like nowadays, everyone is keeping an eye on everyone. So everything that you guys do, anything that you guys like spit out onto the world, we're like obviously gonna like see it, and we're obviously gonna be like, what the hell are they doing?
A lot. So there must be a lot of things, especially lately, that you guys look at and you're like, what the hell are they?
It's crazy.
It's just like it's a dream. It's just like a bad joke.
It's because like we always see things like, wow, like the US has so many like universities, like amazing universities, and they have like they're so organized. They have like so many, like you say, they have like communities, and they have like cities like help like the people out. You know, they make.
Right, because we talked about, I was telling you guys, like, how big nonprofits are.
Right.
Yeah. Like, especially in San Diego right now, like, people are creating, including my husband, like, people are creating nonprofits like crazy. And you guys are like, wow, that's so cool to have that many resources in one spot.
It's so, like, you see, like, so many, like, awesome things about the U.S. and you're like, wow, like, you guys are great. And then Kim Kardashian comes out on TV and you're like, oh my god. Or like you see like Kanye West with the president and you're like, what are you guys doing? It's like, wow. And then it's sad because it's a lot of people. Like, it's not just one or two. No, it's a lot.
So I mean, you know, like, you guys don't have like one musician who's like best friends with the president.
No.
That constantly gives their opinions on political things. I mean,
we can't really say a lot because the wife of our president used to come out in on TV, like in novelas.
Oh, really?
So like, we really can't say anything because we all put our foot on our, like in our mouth too. But
yeah, but that's not as bad as our president came from like reality TV.
That's true.
That is true.
Like,
is
you're
true.
Fired.
I know.
So that's like nothing to say, like, you know, the white first lady.
We do have like in politics, like we do have this Carmen Salinas.
Oh yeah, we have a couple people that should.
Flan de queso. Right.
Like we do have these celebrities. Like in politics right now.
Oh yeah.
And for us, that's a joke as well.
It's like shameful.
It's shameful. Yeah. But for you guys to have a president,
it's like
that's
another
a whole
level.
New level. Yeah. Because and all the things that he says, it's just.
It
should be like I believe that you guys will be like every day for you guys. It's like a nightmare. Like how come he's still there?
Yeah.
Right.
Because for us, it's the same thing. I can't imagine for you guys.
Right. And when I told you guys, when I talked to my youngest sister, when I talked to Moni the other day, and she's like, you might not want to come back because if you hear every day more and more the president's doing, she's like, you might just want to stay there.
I like her today in the news that the Democrats are doing like pretty well. So like hopefully like the Democrats like... Like, not just stop them, like, just, like, balance it out.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, make it, like, a dialogue. Like,
see,
not just, like,
that's a good way that you just put that, too, was, like, balancing the parties, right?
It's because it has to be balanced.
Right,
balanced.
So that there's balance and everybody's, like, listening to each other. That's, like, a big, huge problem right now, too, is, like, nobody wants to freaking listen to each other. So they're blocking out the other side completely and just shutting them down instead of trying to learn from them. It's so much anger and division right now.
It's just anger. It's a lot of anger.
For example, for me, it's going to sound, like, weird, but for me, the wall... It's not that bad, like, honestly, because what he tries to do, I don't like the way that he put it, like, everything like related to the wall, because he said you guys gonna pay for that, and that's just stupid.
Yeah, but how did you guys feel about that when you guys heard
it was ridiculous, like, no one
when you guys heard my president say you guys are gonna pay for the wall.
Okay, sure. Yeah, but, like, I think you're right, because, like, you have to have, like, a more controlled border.
Yeah, of course. And what I believe that he wants to prevent is that, and when, like Andres were saying, like, obviously we have all kind of people, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what he tries to do is just to...
Like, filter.
Well, what I think is just a filter, and it's just follow the rules. If you follow the rules, you're allowed to come to my country, and you're allowed to work, and you're allowed to do everything.
Right.
But if you're not... then why coming here? Like, no, I'm not gonna allow you to come.
Right.
Just whenever you want, just like this. No, for me, that's okay. Like, I mean, but the way that he put things, the way that he was talking, like, about it, and about Mexicans, about like, all these racist things, because he keeps saying, like, the shittiest things, and it's just unbelievable, because the idea, it's not that bad. But the way that he's putting everything, that's how we got, like, offended.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's like your roommate was saying the other day, like, yeah, the border's not that bad. Actually, Mexico is your border.
It is.
Yeah. Like, to the U.S., like, we are your border. We are filtering everything that comes in and out of there. Gracias.
Yeah, like if we weren't here, then everyone from South America would be crossing, like, right away. And I think that, like how we were saying, like, before, that all of them just get stuck here. Like, it's kind of like limbo. So, yeah, there's already pretty much a wall. And, like, it's not bad because, like how Paco says, like, as long as you have something organized, then maybe that way we won't even have to go through that much paperwork when we get a visa, like, for example.
Right.
Like, if they made it, like, a lot
That's
more...
That's so amazing to me that you guys have to go through so much.
It's horrible.
Just to come hang out in our country.
Yeah, so at least it's once every 10 years. Like, they give you a visa for 10 years, so that's not that bad. I mean, at least you have 10 years that you don't have to suffer through that. But, yeah, it's... I mean, like, the way he put it was, like, I think the horribleness of that situation, but... That's just how he is. That's just how extreme he is. He just does that on purpose, I believe, to just get more
attention.
Like, more attention.
Tension.
And, like,
people get all
look
rattled
at
up on both sides.
Right?
Because you rattle up one side, the other side's going to get
same.
Pissed off,
of
too,
course,
right?
Of course, yeah. I think more than anything, that your president and our president is just, like, a reflection of how tired people are. Like, they just want to be heard and be like, oh, yeah, well, now we're going to put this guy, this extremist guy.
It's very back and forth like that. It's very bantering.
Yeah. Hopefully, like, in the future, people will see that that was the wrong decision on both sides. Because us, too, like, with the person that we chose, like, who knows how he's going to turn out, right? So, I guess it's just, like, learning lessons and trying not to make the same
mistake. We'll see what happens around the world with the other countries, too, and everything that they're going through and what kind of leadership they're going to wind up having, too.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't like the direction that I see it in, you know? And again, your roommate made a good point of saying that, like... You're having all the same type of presidents popping up in
everywhere
different
in the
parts
world,
of the world right now.
Yeah.
That freaks me out.
Yeah.
That makes me think of, like, old conspiracy theories of, like, World One and, like, money currency all changing into one currency around the world. Like, that kind of shit freaks me out.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's so sad because I used to live in the U.S. in the 80s and 90s, and I loved it. I mean, I like, personally blame the internet, like... No, the internet to me is what gave, like, your voice.
No, I drink it.
Yeah, To me, like, the internet is just a voice for all those ignorant people that didn't have a voice before. So then, like I hope that in the future, like, things get better, because we, like, love for you guys to visit. Like, we have the greatest culture that we love to share. We love it. So, like, it's so sad to see, like, all these things going on and, like, making it so hard for us to go, or, like, you guys, like, feeling not safe here. Like, to me, that's crazy. Like, it's just, like, I think that it's
the
just...
The bells.
I think it's just,
the
like...
church bells are ringing.
Damn, those church bells.
Yeah, like, I think it's just the media, like, trying to keep us scared and, like, keep us where we're at.
Right.
Scared.
There's two things that I want to touch upon real quick as we get to the closing of this episode. Let's talk about racism amongst Mexicans, meaning dark skin and light skin.
That's always been, like, a problem since, I guess, like, we were, well, not conquered by Spain, but like, the difference is that when Spain came over here, like, they mixed with the people that were here, like, then. Uh-huh. Like the native, like, Americans from here, or like the native, like, Mexicans, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, there was not this, like, paranoia, like, in the U.S. where like, the pilgrims came and they didn't want to mix at all with the Indians and they were scared.
Right.
So, like, I think here it was more like let's learn a little bit from them and let's show them, like, our culture too. So, like, that mixture of culture, although, like the people that were here were obviously stepped on a lot because, like, they took advantage, you know? I think that nowadays, obviously, there is racism, but it's not, like the more things that you see is, like, classism. It's like if you don't have, like, nice things
more
or a,
like,
nice car,
towards...
well, then you're crap, you know? So there's more of a pressure from society to have money than... whether you're, like, another race or whatever, right? And plus, like we said, like, there's not really, like, a lot of different races here. It's just, like, the indigenous people from here and the white people that are mixed as well, because
even though there's no, like, different races, like, it's different colors, different skin colors.
For sure.
And that's what racism is about, too.
Yeah.
So I do feel that we have a lot of racism. Like, I was telling you the other day that... For us, and I fight that with my family and with everybody that I know that they do that. It's, for example, we, like, almost all Mexicans have maids, and
which is pretty crazy too, because that's something, like,
I had no
idea about too.
Yeah.
Like, it was so common.
It's super common.
It is really common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, almost the maids have maids.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty much.
It's crazy like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for example, in these families, like, bigger families, that they have, like, two or three different maids. They have their own bathroom. Like, they cannot use our bathroom. They cannot. They're not allowed to use, like, our forks or our glasses. Or they have their specific items.
Which is so crazy to me, because, and don't forget to watch the movie The Help, because.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's that with Americans.
Yeah.
But in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
know, so, like, for you to say something like that happens now in this society, like, it's really mind-blowing to
It's not everyone. Like, it's mostly, like, the people that have a lot of money.
Right.
And that can afford to have an extra bathroom, or that can afford to have extra forks. But, like, most people don't. And I think that... A lot of times, the people that are like darker skinned, like, they also treat whiter people, like, better.
We were talking about that too.
So then it's confusing.
Right.
Yeah, so then it's confusing, because then you're like, wow, a lot of my white people treat you guys like crap, and you guys are treating us like kings. So then it's like, wow, like that's confusing a little bit.
But even though, if you realize, like, maybe you're not conscious about that, but for example, with maids, like, we don't. we don't say hi like kissing them.
Oh yeah, right.
Like you do with everybody else.
Like we do, well, like with everybody else. And right. Obviously, since they work with us like every day, obviously you get some kind of
like attachment.
Like attachment. Right. Obviously, but even though that we get attached to mates, like we don't say hello with a with a kiss.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. That's like they're like us. Like why treat them like differently? But it is really common, and that's your mindset since you're, well, in my case, mm-hmm. like in my personal experience, that was my mindset since I was born.
Yeah.
Because that was my daily basis. But I used to fight against all these things, but right now, even though that I'm explaining everything, I just realized that I don't say hi to my mate right now.
Yeah,
like kissing her, you know.
But you just realized that right now. You're like, wait a second,
I didn't do that. Like
yeah, right? like a lot of those things are like customs. I think that it's more like our parents' like generations, yeah. like the people that are like around 50, 60, 70, like right uh-huh. now. Those are the people that are having a hard time like adapting.
Yeah,
those are the people that are more racist. Like those are the people. That won't change like their minds like right. about those things, like about being Catholic or about right. not liking gay people or about not mixing with the people that have like darker skin. I think that the newer generations are like a little bit more like open about it, but still like remember that like it's like traditions. So then sometimes like you do it like unconsciously, like if your parents did it, sometimes you find yourself doing it and you're like, oh crap. Right.
It's right? conditioned.
You repeat right. the same mistake.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah.
It's hard to break those cycles.
Yeah.
It really is.
Although it isn't like I've seen, well, according to what I've seen in the news, because this has never really happened to me, but I don't think anyone here has to be afraid to walk down the street and be called like a racist name or like it's not that bad as over there. Like I think over
again we're talking about a country that's mostly full of its people, which are Mexicanos,
yeah, true,
and not
true.
A bunch of yeah, different true, like
true.
People. And but then again, like we want to talk about racism. But then again, being in this town in Aguascalientes, if there was a black family that was walking down the street,
then
I guarantee
would
everybody would
oh,
stop
yeah,
and stare
sure.
and talk and make
for
comments,
sure.
right?
For sure.
Because we are in a smaller city,
yeah.
Right? But even I feel like that's. From what I see, like even going to Guadalajara, like I think that would have the same effect, but this is such a smaller city
yeah.
than that, so I think it would just be more in your face and exposed
yeah.
if a black
oh, yeah.
person was walking down.
Oh, it
would
yeah,
be like,
sure.
everybody would know, like
oh,
within
yeah.
a heartbeat, like there's a black family
yeah.
that's
yeah.
walking down the street in Aguascalientes, someone
yeah. yeah.
check that out,
yeah.
like, right?
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
their standpoint.
Yeah, because
so
it's
it does exist,
the norm.
It's just not in your face because
right.
it's not common that you
exactly.
would have somebody that would be here like that.
Yeah, because like one thing is just like getting like a couple that comes over and lives here like once in a while or that
mm-hmm.
like one or two, but then like having to live with a different race like in your own like neighborhood, like that's totally different.
Right.
Totally different.
Right.
And here that's not very common.
Well, it's crazy because like I love diversity and
I love
being in the areas because right now where I live there isn't diversity and I can't stand it bothers
right.
me so much
right.
I can't wait for us to move back into the neighborhoods where it is more urban and
right.
more hood and no more diversity. But for the first time for me staying here and experiencing not having diversity has also been a beautiful thing too
yeah.
for me because
yeah.
for me being here and digging into my roots and being in my culture, it is pretty cool to look down the street and see all Mexicanos that
yeah.
are walking down the street next to me.
Right.
Like it is like a really cool feeling. It makes me feel really connected to my people, my
yeah.
country, my roots, you know? So it has been a great experience for me.
Yeah.
You know? And I thank you guys because you guys literally have been my tour guides, my photographers, my guides in this whole journey.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have opened me up to, you know, your family, your friends, and it's been incredible for me. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wait a year. Like, I'm already, like, in my head, like, I can't wait for George to listen to this. I'm already, like, in my head, like, okay, how can I make this happen in, like, 6 months? Like, why do I have to wait a year? Like, how can I do this? You know, but it has been, like I said, just incredible. And so much history I've learned from you guys has been amazing. I mean, your roommate is just, like, an encyclopedia. Yeah, he really is. And not just for Mexico. And that's what I was telling you both. Like
all over.
Everywhere. Like, he knows all the, like, the political movements of, like, every country. Like, like, he's just so knowledgeable. So to sit there and listen to him, you know, just speak those things. And, again, hearing your guys' perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a proud American. And I've always been... I haven't always been proud to be Mexican because of where I lived and because of how I was raised and because I wasn't raised speaking Spanish and, you know, all those things in between. But coming here has made me more proud than anything.
That's another thing that I think that we told you the other day, that to us, we, like, love to share our like culture.